Shavua Tov, everyone. We are on a special reading this week. It's Tazria Metzora. It's two parashot put together. Usually, they are coming together only when it's a leap year and you have more weeks along the year. Then they are being read separately. But like this year, they are being read together. And they have a very similar topic. Now, the two topics in this parasha, the first one and the second one, it looks like they are not connected, but they're very, very much connected. The first one, we can find it, that's Parashat Tazria, that's in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12. And it's about the birth of a boy and a girl, and what happens, it's a long discourse. It's a whole chapter of chapter 12, which is a very short chapter, 8 verses. And then after that, we have the rest of Parashat Tazria, which is almost 60 verses, and Parashat Metzora, which is 90 verses. It's all about leprosy. Leprosy. So, now we learn in many, many places when you study Kabbalah, that the leprosy, the biblical leprosy, has nothing to do with what the scientific definition of today, of nowadays, is calling leprosy. Leprosy of today is a skin disease, disorder, autoimmune disorder. While when we're talking about the leprosy, the biblical leprosy, it was not a medical disorder. It was something that is much deeper than that, and I'm going to go a little bit into it. Now, but the first thing, in order to understand the issue of leprosy today, in our lives of today, and that's what's important right now, and especially with all what's going around us, what is the message of Parashat Tazria Metzora to us when the whole globe into this big pandemic, which is called the Corona, one of the names, and all the scientific discoveries of the latest publications of the last few weeks, they look terrible because, you know, I read that the scientists are saying we don't have a real immunization or vaccination to Corona at all, not just this one, because it's easy for the flu, but it's almost impossible to create a vaccination against the corona, all the corona family viruses. And then some others say, you're not sure if you healed from that, it's not going to come back again. So, you know, you hear all of those scientists who are saying that can go till 21, 2024. Who knows, we're going to be stuck with that forever. What are we going to do? And then more and more releases about this is a very weird disease that hits so many important systems, the nervous system, the blood system, the lungs. It looks so scary, but we have to understand that we have in the Zohar and in the Torah, the healing and the antidote, the vaccination, it's all there, because as the sages are saying, that the Creator always creates the remedy before the plague. So here it is. We have the remedy holding it in the Torah, and we have a plague, everything comes together, and the question is, how does humanity heal? And here comes the first thing, the first 8 verses, chapter 12, gives us the key. And what does it say? It says like this, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, God speaks to Moses, saying, Daber adnei Yisrael l'emor, Isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar. Isha ki tazria, when a woman inseminates, there's arguments how to translate this word, but in the regular Hebrew, the word to inseminate, v'yalda zachar, and she will give birth to a baby boy, to a boy, to a male. That's what it says, to a male. And the question is, women do not inseminate. Men inseminate. Okay? It's not my grammatical mistake, of the lack of my English. That's exactly the verb appearing in the original Torah. And we know women do not inseminate. So what is the story over there? And a lot of people, I say it every year, they say, if we understand what does that mean, we would know how to bring boys to the world. And you know, some men, it's really important for them, okay, it was also for me, when you have a few girls, and you want a boy, okay? So, but, you know, I heard a lot of people that did a lot of Kabbalistic research and came and said, this should work, this should work, that's the meaning, none of these work. Okay, so don't even go there. Now, what do we want? So what is the message of the Zohar? Why do we need to hear that? And the word, remember, Tazria, that's the name of the first of the two parashot, to, when she inseminates. And the Zohar says like this, let's say women do inseminate. This is, well, let's say this is something that women really do. Let's say the word Tazria means something for women too. However, the Zohar says something very, very important. And that's the beginning of the whole thing. And the Zohar is asking a question. Lamadnu isha mazra tchila yoledet zachar? So, whatever the woman does that guarantee that, does that guarantees that she will give birth to a boy, to a male? That's a question. And then the Zohar goes into the whole discourse about, just a second, who decides if it's a boy or a girl? Didn't we think that God decides everything? Didn't it, that it's God's decision if it's going to be a boy or a girl? Or is it God's decision about everything? And if it's God's decision, do we really have free will? So the whole issue of this parasha is, what is the definition of true free will? And I will say many times. Today, we know through a lot of stuff that appear in front of us. There's a lot of stuff that we see with our eyes. We do not need to be like nuclear scientists or rocket scientists in order to know that, or geneticians. We know very well that most of what we do is already premeditated, predecision. How do we know? I'll give you some examples. For instance, when you text on your cell phone and your cell phone is starting to tell you what are you going to say? And you just get crazy. How does he know that this is the word I'm going to type right now? Okay? Why? Because your cell phone, and remember, your cell phone is connected to the big computers of Google or other companies or Apple. Somehow they know you good enough to know how you're going to respond to somebody's question. They know. They have no idea, like, who you are, that what you think. They know better than you who you are if they know how you're going to write your answer to somebody's question. Correct? Now, today, we have even more than that. You can do profiling on Facebook. You can tell from the way a person reacts on Facebook what they are up to. So we have governments right now that have huge computers, and they know exactly who are you, what are you, privacy, forget it, there's nothing like privacy. Now, so the question is like this. If they know me so well, I'm always going back to a very old example that I'm giving. You're sitting to dinner in a restaurant. You know, once upon a time, remember, you would go with a friend to a restaurant. There's a place, people come, they pay, they order food, some other people, strangers. They make the food, they bring it to you, put it on the table, and then they give you a bill. Remember, there's a place like this. It's called a restaurant. Okay, so you go to a place like this, and towards the end of the dinner, you are sitting with your friend, remember? And your friend has to go outside for a certain reason, and you know you're in a hurry, and the waiter is coming and is asking you, can you please order the dessert? So, if you know your friend very well, you know, A, if they want a dessert, and if they don't want a dessert, you know it. If they do want a dessert, you also know it, and you can tell also, if you really know your friend, what kind of dessert from the ones that are being offered, what are they going to be, what they are going to like, okay? So, for instance, there's ice cream, and you know that your friend does not like chocolate ice cream, they love vanilla ice cream. Or some of them, they hate vanilla. That's my example. So, if you know what is your friend going to choose, correct? Do they have a free will if to order vanilla or chocolate ice cream? The answer is no. We are pre-programmed, and therefore, we can tell logically that most of our choices are basically pre-programmed. And how do you know? You know somebody of your family, friends very well. You know how they're going to react to any kind of something that happens around. So where is free will? Because we think that free will, that I choose eating chocolate or vanilla. I choose to marry that kind of a person or that kind of a person. And today, with all this great computer data that is coming, we realize that we don't have a free will about it. We are programmed to make a certain choice or another. So where is free will? Okay? And here comes another question. It says, oh, so is that free will, which means choosing the chocolate ice cream, is that a program that God put and instilled inside us, and therefore we follow that program? And that's why, you know, first I feel like, don't like. Okay, I like chocolate, so I choose chocolate. But what determined that I will feel that I like the chocolate? Okay? And we know very well. If it was a very, for some people, if that was a day full of positive, exciting energy, I skip the chocolate. Say, I don't need the chocolate. I have enough excitement in my life. But if it was a day that I heard so many bad news and so many disappointing things, and then I was like, oh, I need the chocolate. I need a lot of chocolate ice cream. Right? You know what I'm saying? Okay? A lot of people are programmed this way, which means this is not free will. So where is the free will? And that's, if you study Kabbalah, you know all about it. The free will is not between choosing between chocolate, ice cream, or another ice cream. That's not even choosing which person to get married to. This is not free will. Okay? And what's the proof? And the Zohar is giving the answer in a very, very concentrated way. Shelamadnu, we learned, it is known and is written in many other places. Okay? Shakadosh Baruch Hu Gozer Al Tipa. The Holy Blessed Be He, God, He decrees over the droplets of semen, which means the cell that will fertilize the egg, God will decree which one of them, you know, we have a lot of cells that are coming out in every ejaculation of a man, a fertile man. And when they reach the egg, once upon a time, they said to us, they told us the first one to reach the egg will fertilize it. Wrong. That is already many, many decades, even when I was a kid. I already learned it in science classes that the first one who reaches the egg cannot fertilize the egg. You know why? Because the egg is covered with a whole cover of cells, and he cannot penetrate. He needs millions of cells. All of them are working hard to open the cover, and then only one, when there are millions of there, only one penetrate in. Which one will penetrate in? Here the Zohar says, God decrees one, he will get in, and if it will be an X chromosome or Y chromosome, he will decree. Okay? So of course, but then says, we don't need. But if you're saying here that the woman, whatever she does, inseminates, whatever does that mean? That means she gives birth to a boy, so we don't need God's decree. He does not need to decide to choose which sperm cell is going to fertilize the egg. So what, we don't need it. Amar Rabbi Yossi, says Rabbi Yossi, ודאי שהקדוש ברוך הוא מבחין בין טיפה של זכר ובין טיפה של נקבה. Of course, the creator can tell the difference between an X or a Y sperm cell. Wow. How did the Zohar know that there are different cells? If one inseminates, it's a male, one is a female. Okay? And since he realized what it is, then he decrees, which means the creator only follows our decision. So are you confused? So what is the power of, where do we choose? Okay? Okay, so where do we choose? And the answer is, so, it goes on. And I won't go read the whole thing. There's a lot of it. But in order to understand that, we have to understand a verse. I just read from Tazria in the commentary of Rabbi Ashlag Asulam, verse 9. I'm just going back two verses. And he says, he's reading from Eshet Chayil. Eshet Chayil is from Proverbs 32, the song we sing to Shabbat just before the Kiddush over the wine of Shabbat. Eshet Chayil. And he says over there, speaking about the divine presence, about the Shekhinah. And he says on the second verse, "Batach ba lev ba'ala." Her husband has trust in her. Who is that? This is the Creator, which is the Holy Blessed Be. Therefore, he gave the power to the Shekhinah to control everything. Kol haneshek shelo hefkid b'yada, he gave her all his ammunition. What does that mean? Okay? And what does it mean? Perush, shekol hakochot, Rabbi Ashlag adds up in the commentary, shekol hakochot lasot milchama, ulehachnia sitra achra natan b'yada. All the powers to wage war and to bring down the dark side, he gave in her hands. Which means, who is the divine presence? The divine presence, there's a lot of talking about it, but basically this is the power of consciousness of all of us together. It's all the souls together. Each one of us is giving a piece of it, is a part of it. But the whole of it together, not just that there is a consciousness to every human being, person, okay? There is a big consciousness of the general, which is called the Shekhinah. This is the female. If the creator is the male, we, the souls, we are the female, okay? Now, what do we know about the creator? We know that his giving is unconditional and endless. We have to remember that all the time. So why we see some people, some groups of people, sometimes very, very, very unlucky, and sometimes very lucky, and sometimes in between? What makes that happen? If the Creator himself, his only giving is just endless power of flight and sharing. So who determines how much is coming into our personal individual life or general? Only us. This is the consciousness. The consciousness, the thought consciousness, the feelings, the emotions, the perception, the way we figure out things, deeper inside that consciousness, there's a positive consciousness, there's a negative consciousness. How do we know? Sometimes when we have a positive consciousness, we find ourselves saying positive, good, helpful, creative, positive words. And when we have a negative consciousness, we know when we do, we find ourselves saying stuff that even will hurt people that we think we really love. So what determines? Are you with me? What determines what we are going to say is what kind of consciousness we choose to have on a certain moment. And that is the free will we have. We have the free will to choose light consciousness or dark consciousness. When we choose light consciousness, suddenly we get in from above, from the source, from the endless. We get in a tape, a system, a script with ideas, preparations, thoughts, likings, and suddenly we like this and we say that. We find ourselves saying this and that and that. And if we choose the wrong consciousness, a negative one, we suddenly get a disc in. And that disc says what? That we say certain things that are different, that are negative, that will hurt us. If that comes from negativity, which means from hurt, from pain, whatever, it doesn't matter. Negative consciousness, when you have it, you know you have it. I hope so. So the creation of the consciousness, okay, this is our job on earth as human beings. We as human beings, we are, each one of us is part of the Shekhinah. Each one of us has a job to create positive consciousness of his own. And when that is strong enough and positive, you lift up everybody else's consciousness around. Okay? And that means, kol hakochot lasod milchama. All the powers to wage war, to overcome the negative awareness. You feel negative, that's not you. That's not who you want to be. That's not who you are. Negative consciousness is something that will bring you not just the wrong choice. It's a wrong, well, I mean, but God is giving you the choice. Yes. And here comes another secret. There's no wrong choice. Even if you choose a choice that is coming, you choose to be in a negative consciousness. You're angry, you're a victim, you're helpless, you're hopeless, you're hateful, you choose that consciousness. What will you say? What will you do? The moment you choose a negative consciousness, the Creator decrees. That's what the Zohar says. A new sperm, a program that will come in. You say things, you choose things that finally will bring you to face that negative choice, pay back, overcome, change, transform, improve, move on. Okay? So even when I make mistakes, how could that be a mistake if the Creator is the one that gave me the script? I don't choose the script. I choose the consciousness. The Creator gives me the tools to wage war against the dark side. First of all, my dark side. Okay? Only later on it's somebody else's dark side or humanity's dark side. But first of all, you can't overcome your own personal, individual dark side. How would you be able to do it for others? So, and then he continues, Rabbi Ashlag. Shal yedei ze, when we fight our dark side, when we create the miracle, which means I was deep in the darkness, I was deep in the swamp of negative emotions, I was drowning, I was sucked in into pain and misery, and I used the tools. That's why you study spirituality, to use the tools. It's what to think about, what to pray, What, you know, you need to have an all arsenal of tools. It could be the Ana Bekoach, 72 names, prayers, psalms, reading from the Zohar. There's so many of them. So many. It's a whole arsenal. But when you use the arsenal and you use one by one, one ammunition and another one, and one device after another, and you reach up of the swamp of emotions. You know what happens, says Rabbi Ashlag. When you lift yourself up, why did you fall into that negativity? Why did you fall into that swamp? You're not alone over there. There's a whole host of holy sparks that fell into that swamp. And when we lift ourselves from that swamp, when we overcome the need, the urge just to come down, to fall into it, to be swallowed up by it, to let it control us. When we lift, when we make a liftoff, we are lifting not just ourselves, we create a suction. And that suction lifts up a lot of holy sparks that were stuck in that place from the sin of Adam. So not just that we're making a tikkun on a private individual scale, when we really make a tikkun, when we choose a positive consciousness, and it's not everybody knows how tough it is to think positive, to think light, to think hopeful and positive and trusting and so on, and loving with compassion and positivity, that choosing that, sometimes it's like impossible. That's why it's called a miracle. It's the only miracle. Because a miracle in Hebrew, remember, is from the word nes. And nes is lanus velitnoses, to flee up and above. When we do that, we are not just lifting ourselves up, we make a suction strong enough to lift a lot of sparks that fell in the darkness from the sin of Adam. And when we do that, we change the whole power between good and evil in the whole world, not just for ourselves, also for others. And that's why those holy sparks are called spoils. Okay? And you find the word shalal in the Eshet Chayil. So understanding that, we understand that that a human life is an ongoing war. You get up in the morning, it's a war. Every day it's a war, every hour, sometimes every second. It's a war. And the whole secret is one thing: overcoming negativity. That's what makes you human being. Beasts, they have emotions, of course, like we do. They do not have the ability to overcome. Remember that. That's what the whole thing is about. Now, so when we are being told to be enslaved to our desires, to our feelings, to our emotions, which means, but if I feel bad about you, I can hate you. Why not? Because that's what I feel. That's exactly what, you know, there's so many voices trying to teach us. I feel like buying that stuff, so buy it. But I want everybody to pay for it. You will have, don't worry, it's going to be okay. We are living in a society that is being trained not to overcome its emotions. I didn't say suppress. Overcome. Overcome means sublimate, exchange negative consciousness into positive. How do I know I'm a negative consciousness? That's the biggest slogan of these 7 weeks. Rabbi Akiva, the golden rule of the whole Torah, love others as you love yourself. That's a golden rule. All the rest is commentary. So if I want to choose chocolate ice cream, and I look inside myself and I say, like, do I like the waitress? Do I like the owners or the guy sitting next to me? Oh, they make me upset. Don't choose the chocolate. It's not good for you. Right now, that's not a good choice. You have to choose to love. You have to choose to have compassion. When you choose to have compassion and excitement about life, you will know if chocolate is good for you or not. I think I made it very simple. And I'm not meaning about just chocolate. Could be a soulmate. Could be a major decision in my life. I have to be aware all the time, where am I? Where is my consciousness? So now we're coming to Parashat Tazria. We said, this is just, I just summarized the first 8 verses. Of course, there's more about it. But what about chapter 13? Till the rest of the 2 Parashot? What about the whole thing about leprosy? And here it is. That's why we have the... what is leprosy? So leprosy is something that is very interesting. Because when somebody was somebody in the biblical time, we read in chapter 13, verse 46, Kol yamei asher anega bo, as long he is infected, itmatame, he will be impure. Badad yeshev michutz lemachane moshevo, he will sit in quarantine. Do you hear the word quarantine? Billions of people are right now quarantined. Who knows how long would that take? Why are they quarantined? Why somebody is metzora? Metzora, most of the commentators are saying, is coming from the word motzira, bedmouthing. When a person not just chooses the negative consciousness, he also verbalizes it. He allows it to come out, and the words have power because abracadabra, that's Hebrew. Abracadabra, I create while I speak, as I speak, which means we create reality by the way we speak. You know, I remember long, long time ago, in the 60s, came out this modern psychology that said, if you have emotions, you have to speak it out. You have to let it out. You have to express your feelings. Otherwise, if you're going to suppress it inside, it's going to create terrible stuff. You're going to get diseases. You're going to... So people started to talk. And to talk. And you know, you live in America. You're still here today. People say, I have to express my feelings. It's from the 60s. But then in the 90s came a big, big, big more psychological research. And that research found out that societies that applied that rule that you have to express your feelings, the disaster was amazing, beyond understanding. Like companies, families, societies. This is terrible when you express your negative feelings. And you have to say it all the time, you simply poison your environment because the words have power. And you know, sometimes you go into a business, into a store, you see something that you really wanted, but you feel so terrible in that place, and I can't get it over here. You go and you look for somewhere else. Especially when you come in and you hear the owners arguing with words that are not so nice. Why? Why do you feel against it? Because it's negativity and we have enough of our own. Nobody wants other people's negativity, especially or even to pay for it. So you understand what I'm saying, that we have to understand that words have power. So the whole thing is about the verbalization, not just about choosing consciousness. It's about verbalizing. And there's another thing that makes it even stronger to realize. Yes, today when you learn quantum physics and you learn that by having an attitude toward life, saying certain words, speaking a certain manner, creates a redirection of your destiny. So we have to be really careful about it, because this is the lesson that humanity have to learn. If you go on the social media and journalism of today, there's so much negativity. What is fake news? It's bad mouthing. That's metzora. We have a whole world bad-mouthing each other. What do you think? That could go on forever without the Creator saying enough is enough, but that everybody goes into a quarantine. All of you. You too. You too. And you too. Oh, over there I saw you. South Africa and South America. In the you go also in the mountain. No, you stay home. You don't get out. Why? You did it too much. It's like the world is loaded with so much negativity. And see about the power of the words. We have the story about the leopard houses, which is amazing. In Parashat Metzora, the last part of Parashat Metzora, this is chapter 14, verse 33. And over there it says, when you come to the land of Canaan that I give you, and I'll give leprosy in the walls of the houses. I explained a lot of it in during previous year's teachings about it. I don't want to go too much. But here, the same way that when you feel, when somebody is suspecting he has leprosy, who does he call? The Kohen. What does it mean, Kohen? Kohen means chesed. Compassion, loving, kindness. How do you heal leprosy? Who can heal leprosy? The Kohen. But we don't have a temple right now. Okay? So who should be the Kohen? So if you learn the parashot of Tuma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pekudei, we are supposed to be the Kohen. Each one of us. Each one of us is supposed to draw the consciousness of a Kohen. And what is the consciousness of a Kohen? This is the consciousness of unconditional loving. Why should I love unconditionally? Because that's how you connect to the endless resources of the Creator. That's how you connect to the consciousness that will give you, you bring you to a place, the Zohar says, here in this parasha, that will release all the holiness inside the soul of each one of us. That's when we call in the consciousness of the Kohen. And here, with the house, if the house has leprosy on the walls, which means, the Zohar says, because the ancient Canaanites, they were into black magic like crazy. And you know, today, in every diggings in Israel, when you find, how do you know it's a Canaanite house? First of all, there's so much witchcraft in every room, like the Zohar said. Okay? Voodoo, whatever, you just name it, all the most horrible stuff. Okay? Not just human sacrifice, terrible stuff. So, sometimes the house was too much loaded with negativity. So the Kohen was invited to remove that negativity from the house. So, but the point is like this. Something very peculiar, what it says. Verse 36 on chapter 14. וציווה הכהן ופינו את הבית בטרם יבוא הכהן לראות את הנגע. And the Kohen will order that every object in the house will be taken outside the house before he comes in. Only a Kohen can see really if it is leprosy or just mold. Okay? So, before the Kohen comes, the house is in an uncertain place. Suspended animation. It's not that and it's not that. The point is, the moment he comes in the house and he says, Tameh, impure, the house is impure, and now every object in the house, every utensil, every pot, everything is impure and has to go through purification. When does it become pure, impure? When the Kohen says, Tameh. So remember, because we learn that we are the Kohen, see about the power of the words. When we say about stuff, this is bad, this is terrible, this will never happen. You know how many times you hear the story about this child that his father and his mother and his teacher said, oh, you're lost case, you're hopeless, you'll never succeed in anything. And he was just hanging out like this, like, and just being a trouble. And then comes one teacher, grade 3, says, I see what's in you. I won't let you go. I see the jewel inside you. And that teacher coming and saying, I see you have the potential, you're good, you're good. And pushing and pushing. And then years later, that child becomes a super something, big, big, positive help for humanity. Who did it? The teacher. The teacher who served as the Kohen. Pure. You are pure. Your soul is pure. Your life will be pure. I trust you. And the child, if he chooses to listen to that person, here it is. That's our job this week. This is the job of the whole 7 weeks of the Omer. To choose and build up positive consciousness. Positive consciousness allows all the potential forces inside us to be revealed. One of the ways we know that we are choosing positive consciousness, we choose positive wordings. We speak with compassion. We speak with love. We don't say, oh, you're this, you're that, and that is over. That's negative. That will never work. We don't say that. Because we want to serve as the Kohen on this planet, each one of us. When we do that, when we remember that, we can get out of the quarantine. Okay? And then, what is the person doing? One of the things he's doing, he is releasing a bird. Right? Right now, we all birds in cave. And we'll stay. Maybe, hopefully, we will learn soon. And there's a lot of consciousness coming every year during the Omer. But this year it's supposed to be more concentrated. The conscious of what? Freedom. Freedom from negativity. So thank you all. And have a great week.